welcome to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on Eurofolkradio.com. Returning with me today is David James, a co-host on Eurofolkradio.com. He has the shows Saxon's Creed and Midweek News Report. He also produces the shows Founding Fathers and Classic Comparé. Now, on Saxon's Creed, David did a show, it was his 10th show, and this went out on the 5th of July last year, and it was called The Box, The Cube and The Monolith. Now, this show, it taught me a lot about the films 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is a Stanley Kubrick film, and 2010, The Year We Make Contact, which was the sequel, but it is supposed to have not had any Kubrick involvement. I did see the director, Peter Hyams, say that he did phone Stanley Kubrick up, and Kubrick said, look, it's your movie, you do what you want with it. He couldn't use any of the existing things from 2001 because he said that they were all ordered destroyed for some reason. So all that original set and everything like that was ordered destroyed. But just, I'd like to bring David in now to do a recap on what he considers 2001 and 2010, the hidden messages in there. And then we're going to talk about the Stanley Kubrick film called The Shining, and specifically there's a movie about it called The Shining Code, which points at codes within the film that is Stanley Kubrick's confession that he was behind filming the fake moon landings. So I'm going to hand over to David now. David, how are you?
Hello, Andy. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for coming back.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Good.
You want me to tell you about this? Well, as brief as I could be, there's a lot to say about these movies. But if I was to, you know, make it in a short period of time, it's about the monolith is about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the beginning of the movie, the monkeys were just monkeys, and once they touched this monolith, they began to understand things, and then they finally learned to kill. And one of the things Yahweh says, of course, if you eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And, of course, that's the truth. So what the movie is really about is about man becoming God, and this is what this whole thing is going to relate to. You see, this man makes these movies, and he's speaking about his God, Lucifer.
Okay.
So man becoming God is a Freemasonic. It's in all Freemasonry. It's in the New Age movement. This is man perfected. So when you take the number 6, which is the number for man, and you add the number 7, which is perfection, you have 13, which is man perfected. So, that movie goes on, and it shows that some people are not ready to go into this new kingdom and will be killed. But the guy Dave was ready. And it shows that at the end of that movie that he had become a god. He had gone through all these corridors of distorted light, which is the light of Lucifer, which is the same thing as going through the degrees of Freemasonry. Each degree you're asking for more light. And eventually you will be linked with the spiritual king of the world, who is Lucifer, in the 33rd degree, if you can go to the 33rd degree. You have to be asked to go to the 33rd degree. But in the second movie, brief. There's so many things.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Andy. I'll stop you there for a second. Because in the first movie, of course, you have the monolith at the start, then you have the monolith that appears on the moon, and that's got a signal that's transmitting to Jupiter or is being received from Jupiter. And one bit that I wanted you to mention that you said on the show, and I suggest that people download that show, the Cube, the box and the monolith show so they can hear it, because we've only going to spend a few minutes on that bit here and they can hear the whole show. But you made the comment that the mission, they then have a mission to go to Jupiter 18 months later, which again shows the 666 equals 18 element.
Right, and it has everything to do with Lucifer. Now, that is actually from the second movie. And the monolith on the moon was a smaller version of the monolith that was on the that they saw on the Earth in the beginning, so to speak, in the beginning of the movie. You also heard the sound of bees when those monkeys had first seen. See, the Jews think of us as monkeys and Neanderthals, okay? And this is their, the monkeys actually represent man and evolution, which is a false theory that was brought up to augment communism, and it actually was the key to making the communist doctrine work. They needed the theory. You see, nobody minds you talking about the theory of evolution. Just don't talk about any conspiracy theory. Yeah. Nobody minds you talking about a theory of relativity. Nobody minds you talking about a theory of the Big Bang, but don't talk about any conspiracy theory, you see? And so basically, the Jew was showing who his God is in the movie, and he was showing the Freemasons, you know, in the garden, Eve was promised that she could become a god if she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, they didn't eat the monolith, they just touched it. She was warned not to touch the tree as well. And we know what happens when she touched it, don't we?
Yep.
However, they just touched the monolith, the monkeys, which represents early man or man. That's the way they look at us as animals. And basically, this taught them to kill. They didn't. They were eating vegetables in the garden, just like Adam and Eve, you see?
Yeah.
And then the monkey started banging a bone on the ground, and another group of monkeys came, and they used to just try to get rid of him by hollering and make a lot of noise. Well, this time, he realized that the bone could kill. So he used the bone to kill one of the other tribes, a member from one of the other tribes.
Yeah, and also before that, as you said about, they're just eating vegetables and stuff, and you see all these, you know, look like pigs or hogs or whatever around them.
Yes.
And they're all just walking around with them, and then suddenly you see that they've killed one of them and they've started eating meat. And then you don't see them around them anymore because, of course, they feel threatened that they'll get eaten, type of thing.
Right, and meat makes you aggressive, doesn't it? It makes a man aggressive for some reason. I don't know what it is, but when a man eats meat, it just brings out the animal in him, let's just say. So anyway, it goes on. I can't really tell you. You'd have to listen to my show for me to really tell you what the whole movie, you know, what I gleaned out of the whole movie. So we move on to the second movie where you were talking about the monolith, which directed them to the planet. What was the planet at that time? I'm trying to think.
Jupiter,
right. And so basically all these other monoliths came out at the end of the movie, and these were the children of Lucifer. And we saw that at that point that another sun was born in the sky. Now, I mean, I'm going through the whole movie real quick. This is the end of the movie. And then, you know, while these two teams were out there, one team was from the USA, the other team was from Russia, which were enemy countries in the Cold War and everything. So they got message back to them that maybe there'd be no Earth to go back to. And so basically they still had to get out of the way of what was taking place with the birth of the new sun, or they would have been killed. So the message at the end of the movie is very, very interesting. See, what the monolith also represented, and they told you this very, you know, right out, carte blanche, that the monolith is in the shape of the UN building. Yeah. And they called it an embassy. He says, I don't really know what the monolith is or was. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And he said, maybe it's an embassy. You know, what they were doing, they had been promoting the UN in the movies in the 50s, the space movies and all kinds of movies. Now, what does it mean when man can go to the moon? What it means is that man has finally become God. It is a chief sign that man has come to the point where he can go to the moon. Okay, now, what does that mean? He can travel in space. But what is Lucifer's real plan, and I mean his real plan, about man becoming God? He tricked these men through science, which is usually at enmity with God, and is in this case, and I'll prove to you why. Satan has been hurled down to this planet. His name is Halel. He's got many names. And he cannot leave this planet. So what he's doing in the garden is tricking man into believing that he can become a god. But really, Lucifer is the one to become a god through living through man vicariously. And what that means is, if he can get man to create a rocket to leave the planet, Lucifer now has a way off the planet. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God does not want that.
Yeah.
Yahweh does not want that. Is that evident to you?
Well, yes, and I think that the other aspect of that film that you talked about, I mean, Jupiter explodes, it becomes a second sun, and so you've got that you just said there. And, of course, with all that's been going on, that birth of the second sun, it unites the world, and this America and Russia are supposed to be at war. They see this spectacular event and everyone loves each other. And of course it promotes all this garbage that we have now of diversity, etc. So that was another message out of that film I saw very clearly.
Yes, brotherhood. The Jew was promoting. One thing I will point out is that the Jew was promoting brotherhood. Do you see the Jew promoting brotherhood today? No, just the opposite. They're actually promoting a war against each of our brothers, so-called. They're not our brothers. Only our brothers are our brothers, as far as the Adamic race goes. But they're not preaching brotherhood anymore. You see that, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that they were preaching brotherhood because they wanted to be able to convince you that all people are alike, all races are the same, all races are equal, which is a bunch of nonsense. And the more we look into it, the more nonsense, the more less sense it makes. So at the end of the movie, he says, "We hope the children of the old sun will be friends with the children of the new sun." You see, the old sun representing the old deity Yahweh, but the new sun, or Yeshua, which is Yahweh, and the new sun is Lucifer. See, they're both called the morning star. It's a title. But Lucifer is known as the bright one. He is also Prometheus, who brought the torch of illumination. See, what happened in the garden was people became illumined. They became aware. They knew what science was. This is what Lucifer was trying to project. You'll notice that the more people learn, the less they're willing to believe in Yahweh or God, because they become scientists. And what do scientists? The Pharisees are scientists. The Sadducees were scientists. You see, they weren't like the Israelites. The Israelites believed Yeshua. But the scientists, who are the Pharisees, wanted proof. They didn't want to believe. They didn't want to have faith. They said, "Show us a sign." Over and over and over and over. See, and that's what the scientist does. If I don't see God's head poke out through the clouds, then he doesn't exist until I see a sign. Absolutely. And that's the opposite of what Yahweh teaches. And that's the opposite of what Yeshua teaches, you know, what he taught in the flesh body, the living word of God. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. And, yeah, well, what we can do now, I've got some notes that I did. What I'll do is I'll read these out and then we can go through, you know, your comments. I'll just read these, and if there's obviously any that you want to focus on, because I know that you've got a view on this film, The Shining Code version 2, anyway. Now, before I watch that, there's another film called Kubrick's Odyssey, and there was some information in there. So I'll just read through the notes that I made, and we can go through any of these if you would like, or you can just comment yourself. But firstly, you'd be familiar with a film called Wag the Dog with Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro in which a film producer is hired to basically stage a false flag event. And then when he tries to take credit for it, he's killed. And this film producer, played by Dustin Hoffman, is actually called Stanley. Now, 4 days after Eyes Wide Shut was shown to executives, this was his last film, and it actually came out after he died, he insisted the film would be released on July 16th, 1999, which is exactly 30 years to the day Apollo 11 was launched. Now, the feelings going through to the Shining Code, they believe that Kubrick used The Shining, the purchase of the rights to the Stephen King book, as a cover story in order to finance his film, revealing that he was doing his confession to carrying out the moon landings, that he actually filmed them. And so what they're basically saying is, Warner Brothers, it's another Stanley Kubrick film, that's fine, we'll just let him get on with it, he's doing this, he's got the screenplay, etc., etc. But you'll see that there's some very different things that he threw out of King's book that he used. Now, many references to Apollo 11. The main one is being when Danny, the boy, is playing with his toy trucks. The hexagonal, and this is on the carpet in one of the corridors, and the carpet has got this hexagonal design that represents the launch pad at Cape Canaveral. And when you see the picture of this launch pad, you've got all these little trucks around it. Now, out of nowhere, a tennis ball rolls up to him, and Danny gets up, and as he gets up, you see he's wearing an Apollo 11 sweater, which signifies that he is the rocket, and the rocket, therefore, isn't real. He then walks to room 237. Now, this is very interesting. Room 237 in Stephen King's novel was called room 217, but he changed it to room 237. Now, people say, why was this changed? The average distance from the Earth to the Moon is 237,000 miles. Now, moving on through the film, when Jack Torrance, the Jack Nicholson character, goes into the bar and finds it full of people, this is now an elite club he is part of. And this is because he's accepted to take on the false moon landings moon landing project. The bartender is clearly made to look satanic, and the waiter tells Jack he is the caretaker of the project, and we then see Jack Nicholson letting himself go after he's heard this, and we see his hair being unkempt, we see him growing a beard, and then when you look at early images of Stanley Kubrick at the start of filming 2001, which was started in like 1964 and finished in 1968, and then we see him at the end 1968, his hair's all over the place, he's got a long beard, etc., and we see that starting to happen to Jack Nicholson's character. And then the most shocking scene of the film, where Jack's wife, Wendy, discovers what Jack has been typing on hundreds of sheets of paper. It says, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy." But when you actually read this differently, instead of "all," it should read A11, as in Apollo 11, which would be Apollo 11, work, and no play, makes Jack a dull boy. This business of the sheets of paper with that written on it, all work and no play, whichever way you want to interpret it, these are not in Stephen King's book at all. And then we get to the last scene, which is a picture of Jack at a party in July 1921. He is holding a secret note, and a man behind him is blocking his hand from passing it to someone. The secret note is Stanley Kubrick's confession of being behind the fake moon landings hidden in The Shining. And then just going back to the start of the film, we see the hotel, the Overlook Hotel where the film is set, which is basically to signify the United States. And just above the entrance, where the entrance is, it's a big A, the shape of the roof. And then on the front line of all the cars there, there's 11 cars, Apollo 11. And there's lots more of these images in there than I could go through, but it's just to give you a taster. And you really, if you go onto YouTube and look at The Shining Code version 2, that's the information that I got. But I'll now hand back to you, David, and you please comment or give me any of your information.
Well, I can't tell you that I know all about what this movie is about, but I will tell you that I asked Yahweh to teach me what it's about. And you can take any of this information and take it how you want. I think that I shall study into it further for the future. But this is my first impression, so I don't have every detail worked out. But the first thing I will say is we've already talked about the fact that Stanley Kubrick is promoting his god, Lucifer. And we've established that fact, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now here's the big surprise that I got this morning when I woke up and I first looked at my notes again. What's the name of the movie?
The Shining.
I'm leaving space there for a minute. Is it dawning on you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I never thought of it. It never even dawned on me until this morning. The name of the movie is The Shining. And Lucifer is the illumined one, the bright one. The star of the morning star, is the, it's a title. He's the same. He's not the brother of Jesus. I know you want to say something, Andy. Just let me give me a second. What's your thought, though? Go ahead.
Well, it was just something to add to this. There's an extras disc, which it's got different interviews with different actors out of Kubrick films. And it was filmed not so long ago, and it's got Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson said he was speaking to Stanley Kubrick about the film. And what's the film about? And Stanley Kubrick says, well, it's an optimistic film. And then Nicholson said, well, what do you mean? I thought it was like a horror film. Kubrick said, well, no, it's a film about ghosts. And so it's an optimistic film because it shows that when you die, it's not necessarily the end.
Ah, you're becoming a god?
Yeah, ghost, whatever.
Okay, anything else, or I'll continue on? Well,
that stuck with me because we always say in Identity that, you know, the Jews don't go anywhere. The earth is the Jews' heaven now. They've got no Yahweh to go to or whatever, okay? And so when Kubrick made that comment, it was like, what a Talmudic comment to make. He knows that when he leaves this planet, that's it for him. There is no Yahweh for him to go to.
But he believes that his Lucifer will take care of that, that the outcome doesn't have to be as Yahweh says it is, that actually Lucifer will win in the end. It's a hopeful movie. Now, I'm going to show you. You see, why would you have to? The question why I don't believe this nonsense about Apollo 11 is because I'm not saying he's not referring to it here or there, but you don't have to refer to it 150 times to get your message across, okay? Number two, everything that has to do, he's supposed to be a tortured man who has deceived the world about going to the moon and it's torturing him. And there's all sorts of destruction that goes along with it. What does that have to do with a man being tortured about lying to the public? Since when would a Jew have a conscience in the first place? That's my first point. But number two, what does the what they say in the movie that the blood has to do with, and the twins and all these different things, is that it has to do with communism and the war in Vietnam and the Cold War and all this nonsense. Now, the Jews are the ones that propagated all that stuff. You think he cared whether 5 million people or whatever it was died in Vietnam? No, he doesn't care at all. Hmm. So the destruction in that movie makes no sense. It doesn't link up to Apollo 11. But I will tell you something that's very interesting. The first time I had seen this, this other movie about what the codes meant, and this was, you know, years ago, there were two things that you didn't notice in the movie that they didn't point out this time. And that is Calomel. It's an Indian. It's a baking soda, I believe.
Yeah.
And you see, what it is they have said that we've killed the Indians. We being the seed of Jacob. Now, I'm not sure if this child represents the seed of Jacob or not, but him and his mother are in a daze practically all the time, as the seed of Jacob is now. And I mean, they're literally practically zombies. This child is practically a zombie. And when you see the carpet that you were speaking of, you saw the six-sided figure, and yeah, within it was the red box. I noticed it immediately. And what that is it's the Jew star. It's there. You just don't, you're not seeing it on the rug.
Yeah.
Because the six-sided figure is within the Jew star, and the box is within the six-sided figure. As you must have seen on the box, the cube and the monolith.
Yeah.
So I recognize this right away. See, another thing to allude to the fact that the seed of Jacob has done these Jews so wrong is the typewriter was cream-colored.
Yeah.
Do you know any race that's cream-colored?
Exactly.
Okay, now, wait a minute now. We're going to go on with this, though. Now, this race was cream-colored. The typewriter was cream-colored. And the name on it was Adler, which means eagle in German.
Yep.
Now, let me find in my notes. Now, you realize that the Germans had the eagle as their sign. The eagle is a snake killer. And Mr. Kubrick is of the serpent seed line, the snake. Is this blowing your mind a little bit or no?
No, it's good. It's a very good
Okay, let's say some other things. I know that these, I'm looking for this particular note here on this Adler because I added it up and it adds to 11. He missed that in the movie. See, when you add letters and numbers, you could say Adler is what? A-D-L-E-R. It's five letters. But you could also add it up. See, with numerology, you can also add it up as A is one. You know what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so they missed that fact. Tang also adds up to 11. They missed that fact. The Jew is obsessed with 11, and what 11 means is 11 means destruction. We notice on 9/11 that the Twin Towers, which were in a form of an 11, was the signal of the destruction of America, which is Jacob's seed line's country, the seed of Jacob's country.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go to, I have several things here. Okay. Later, what we notice is that the typewriter is now painted gray also.
Yeah.
Gray is the color of the Nazi uniform. Remember that what they had said in the first time I had seen this was that the the Nazi, this was a Nazi typewriter that was used in the Nazi regime. They aren't called Nazis, by the way. The Jews call them Nazis. The German Third Reich used that typewriter in their time. See what I'm saying? And the Beetle was a car that was that Hitler.
Yeah, hold on, David. Sorry. I just wanted to say that it's actually admitted as well that one of the set people was told that they had to paint that typewriter. So it started off as cream colour and they had to paint it grey. So this isn't like a lighting trick or something there. They deliberately wanted that typewriter to change colour. So I hand back to you, David. Sorry, carry on.
Yes, that's for those who are in the know. You see, that typewriter was from the time of Germany. So we're talking about the Holocaust again. We're referring to the Holocaust. We're referring to the killing of the Indians, the Holocaust of the Indians that the seed of Jacob has been accused of doing.
And they even say at the start of the film that the when they're leading the family through, the manager of the hotel, that this is built on the graves of Indians.
Yes, and you noticed also that when he was sitting at the typewriter and they showed the two pillars or the two towers.
Yep.
See, I don't believe they knew 9/11 was necessarily going to be the date, but they knew that destruction was coming from Apollo. And I believe that Callum May, if I wrote it right, Callum May is also another... It means killing Indians, and it equals 12. Who in the Bible is represented by 12, the number 12? So Calamay really means that the seed of Jacob killed all the Indians. Now, this is not true, and neither is the Holocaust true. However, the Jew doesn't see it that way. This is his agenda. And so... What is this movie about? I can just tell you very quickly what it's about. It's about their god. Apollo is a sun god. He's a god of illumination. He's a god of many things. I'd have to study into it much deeper to understand it fully. But what Apollo is, let's go to the book of Revelation, and I think this might blow your mind a little bit. I don't know.
Well, I'll just say quickly that before you get into there, also, you're right with Apollo. It's a sun god in both Greek and Roman mythology. And then what's interesting is the Volkswagen Beetle in the Stephen King book is red. The Volkswagen Beetle in the film is yellow, colour of the sun, and it's driving to this Apollo hotel, this hotel with the big A at the front and the 11 cars, old Apollo 11, and it's driving there on the Going to the Sun Road. That's what the road's actually called that they filmed on. And
yes,
so everything
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, it's just this sun mythology that you're talking about that's just so prevalent everywhere.
Okay, so now let's go to Revelation. Now I want you to pay attention very closely, ladies and gentlemen. Revelation 9:11. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. That is Apollo.
Yeah.
Okay, this is their god Lucifer. Now, he supposedly is the second in charge. So, you know, Abaddon is a word that occurs quite often in the Old Testament and in as a synonym for Sheol or Hades. But anyway, this Apollo, okay, what he says right here is this guy that has this particular thing. He says, Apollo was the demon god of light who was very much involved with the kingdom of darkness and Satan himself. Apollo was one of the forerunners of demonic attack as an angel of light. Apollo, along with Zeus, was the most widely revered and influential of all the Greek gods. He was known for death and terror, and his name actually means the exterminator. Now, what is his great hope of Mr. Cube? Mr. Cube Brick. His hope is that his god, Lucifer, and all their fellow friends like Apollo, will exterminate number 12. And I will show you that at the end of the movie. Now, this is very interesting stuff. Okay, how does the number 11 relate to Edom? I found this. The dukes of Edom was another name for Esau, Jacob's brother, were 11 in number. Although closely related to the house of Israel, a bitter hatred existed between the two peoples. The dukes or chiefs of Edom were Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Aholbamah, Elah, Pinyon, etc. Okay, this is from Genesis 36, verse 40 through 43. Okay, so anytime you have 11, it is a very powerful number because, like one, it's magnified heavily. It's to the second power, so to speak. Okay, so there's a couple of things right there. Now, he showed you the ladder or the A. Well, I suggest it wasn't an A at all, that it was the lingam. And what the lingam is that is taught in Freemasonry is the generative principle, which is what we call the penis of Osiris. It is the thing that's sitting in Washington, D.C. near the lake. It's the male and the female. But the male is the generative force. It's the fire. It's the flame. It's the pyramid. It's the triangle that goes up within the Jewish star. It is as above, so below that Jewish star, because you have one pointing up and one pointing down. Okay? How does that strike you?
No, that's very interesting. And also, I just had a look at that final image again. And it's got Overlook Hotel, July the 4th, ball. And again, July the 4th, 7-4. And then you've got 11.
Would you like me to tell you what that means? He even questions you at the end of that movie. What do you think that means? Now, does this mean I'm correct in everything I'm saying? Well, I don't know. It's possible. I asked Yahweh to teach me what it meant. And this is just a brief hour or two study, people. This isn't like I've spent weeks on this and months on this. And you know, I'm not claiming I know everything. I'm giving you a basic foundation of what I think the movie's about. And because I have good foundation on that, because we see that he promotes his god, Lucifer, the Shining, in all his other movies. So you had the Overlook Hotel was 13 and all that stuff, like you just said. And then he adds up 13 plus 11 plus 11 plus 13 equals 48. 4 and 8 is 12. Now, that's one way of saying it. But I don't know where he gets dividing it by 4, but he wanted it to come out to 12. Definitely, right?
Yeah, I got confused at that bit.
Okay, let me tell you what it means. He had three numbers at the end, 11, 12, and 13. And he's trying to give you this nonsense that the 13, you know, he didn't work on 13, but he worked on 11 and 12. That's nonsense. Yeah. Here's what I think it means. 11 means the destruction that's going to come on number 12. And 13, it's going to be done by number 13, who is man perfected. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah, and that links back to 2001 again.
Is these people like Eve who, you know, supposedly touched the, you know, like these Freemasons is what I'm saying, the promise of being a god. And Lucifer is going to usurp godhood, even though he's not going to. He's trying to usurp godhood through man. He's actually getting man to participate. This is what the Freemasonic lodges do. The Jews control the lodges. They get the Adamic race people in there that are the only race that can ever make anything really happen. And they've got them participating, like Von Braun was participating. They showed a picture of him with Disney, Walt Disney, who was a 33rd degree Mason. Now, here's another thing. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy is 33 letters. That was missed by the movie people too. 33 is when you get linked up with the spiritual king of this world, which is, of course, The Shining. Or Lucifer, right?
Yeah.
Now, does that make sense to you?
Definitely. And, of course, you've got the 33rd degree of Freemasonry there as well. It's an excellent interpretation.
You also have the two astronauts that went on this Apollo 11 mission are both Freemasons. And then you have Werner von Braun, right? Werner von Braun. He wasn't prosecuted in the trials, was he?
No.
No, he was brought over here because they were going to... He was one of the seed of Adam who was going to help the devil get off the planet. You see, the sign of the moon, us reaching the moon, means man has reached perfection. Man has become God. That's why 6 out of the 7 missions, the 6 could refer to 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. You know, I have a lot more to say on this. We'll never be able to finish this, but the 6 out of 7 missions, that it's very ironic, and I'll tell you why. Because Yahweh always has his hand in everything. 6 of the missions were completed for man becoming God. But the 7th mission, or the Apollo 13, which represents man becoming perfected, went awry. See the hand of Yahweh in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Notice all the astronauts were also white that were destroyed in other projects and so on and so forth. So the white man is helping the Jew. Now, when we see the twins with all the blood in the hall, it makes no sense. But if you make them the Twin Towers and the destruction that would come upon the seed of Jacob, you may understand it clearer now. The two girls were dead in the hall, and there was blood all over the place. Now, see, 9/11, I'm not trying to say that 9/11 is exactly what he's saying, but he's thinking of a future, a hopeful future. See, in the old movie there, Dave came back, and he came to his wife, and he said, "Something wonderful is about to happen." And he kept repeating it over and over. Okay, see, this is the hope of the Jew, is that they can destroy the seed of Jacob and that Lucifer can overcome and kill Yahweh. They believe it. Oh, they're very hopeful. I don't know if they actually could believe that, but they're very foolish to believe it. But this is their hope. So it's interesting that, you know, the child went into the room, and when he came out, he had marks on his neck, and he was sucking his thumb. His mouth was shut. The seed of Jacob is in that kind of condition right now. Now, I thought about this, and I don't know if I have it all clear, but it has nothing to do. Notice how they make no comment on this in the movie. There's a naked woman in a tub. And I do believe that, you see, one thing I will mention that I didn't mention before is Jack is another name for the devil. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. See, well, because that's all Jack does.
Yeah, on those two points, firstly, when the boy comes back after, they say that the room, because I went through the bit where he rises up, so it's like he's the rocket going up, and that's signifying Stanley Kubrick, supposedly, and this is what they say in the film. And then he goes into the room 237, and that's referred to as the moon room, and they've got, and I think that they were stretching it here, but because it said room number 237 on the key, you could take room or you could make that moon by taking the N, and I think they were stretching that somewhat. But then when Jack goes into that room and he sees this beautiful woman rise up out of the bathtub and he puts his arm around her and he starts kissing her, and then he sees in the mirror and she's just become all decrepit and her skin's gone all horrible and that. And he pulls away from her aghast and he's kissing this old decrepit woman. And it's supposed to signify the fact that it all looked really good at the outset, that he was being asked by, you know, the elite to film this for them. And so he went in there all pleased to be doing that. And that's why you see the pictures of him in 1964 when he started the work, and he's quite clean cut, etc. But then as he was doing the work and when he saw what it was really like and how he felt about it, it was actually a curse on him rather than a blessing. And then you see him when the movie came out, and that's the classic image of Kubrick, the long unkempt hair, the unkempt beard, which is also very much like a rabbi, I would have to say.
Well, let me tell you what I think about it. Number one, the room number. 2 and 3 is 5 and 7 is 12.
Yeah.
Again, who does 12 represent? He went in the room and there was a woman who was beautiful. We are known as the woman, Israel, in the Bible, correct?
Yep.
Now, the same way Judas did. Now, these Jews are marrying our women, and so on and so forth. But the same, I haven't got this whole thing worked out yet, but what I mean is that she was beautiful. She came out of the tub and he kissed his enemy. But in the process of kissing his enemy with the kiss of death from his god, Apollo, he sees the destruction. He sees that the woman is now a corpse. Yes, she was alive in a sense, but she was like a rotted corpse, and the corpse had something in it, but very little left, and that's the seed of Jacob. There's very little left. It's been destroyed. Now, is that far-fetched to you, or does that make any sense to you? That's just my initial thought about it.
No, that makes a lot of sense, and I was just, while you were saying that, I wanted to look up his wife, because they were trying to say in this thing that Jack Nicholson and his son both represented Stanley Kubrick, and the wife, Wendy, represented his wife in real life. And I knew that his wife was German, so they say, and I just wanted to make sure she wasn't down as a German Jew. It doesn't say that she was, but it says that she was the daughter of two opera singers, Fritz Moritz Harlan and his wife Ingeborg Maida Freitas. So that could be another indication there. That what you just said about the Jews marry Israel, etc.
Yes. Well, there you go. And so when Jack, when he goes into the room number 12, he is a reflection of his father, the devil. So his name is Jack, and he's a son of the devil. He's the serpent seed offline. The offspring. He knows that he's of the devil, and his name is Jack. And now Jack is going on stage and performing. He is Johnny, and he's going to destroy, and he starts smashing with the axe into the room where his so-called son and daughter are. He's going to murder them. You see? And yeah. So there's a lot to this. Now, remember, I'm not claiming that I know it all about this. I'm claiming that this is only a little less than 2 hour study here. So I bet you could glean much more from it. Go ahead, Andy. I know you want to say something.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say it was an interesting comment that he's murdered them, or he's going to murder them, or what have you. Well, the fact is he already has murdered them by race mixing, because if the wife really is pure Israelite, then the fact that she's married a Jew, then her child is now a Jew, and it's lost all its Israelite. It's basically lost. The child's lost the relationship with Yahweh. Well, I mean, it won't have a relationship with Yahweh because it's not pure.
Yeah, and the hope that the woman is a corpse, that the Jacob Israel is going to be a corpse, and that the Apollyon, or Apollo, is his god, Lucifer, is going to hopefully take care of that. He's hopefully going to destroy the seed of Jacob. Now, these movies are for people who have eyes to see. If you sat down and just watched this movie, it really is nonsensical. if you don't understand what I just told you. Now, this is, I believe Yahweh gave me somewhat of an interpretation here. Now, when we look at a man in the maze, they were in the maze. The child and the woman were in the maze. But Jack, the overlord, the devil, he overlooked them being in the maze. Is that not true?
Absolutely, yeah.
We are in a maze now. We don't know who we are. The seed of Jacob doesn't know who they are. They're running around trying to escape from the maze. Right? And what it means, a man in the maze, a style of unicursal labyrinth, they say, style of unicursal labyrinth, topologically equivalent to the classic seven-circuit labyrinth, commonly seen in the Tohono O'odham Nation, Native American tribe, characterized by seven concentric circles with the seed pattern in the center. Life and choice depicted in this common symbol, the man in the maze, was originally created as an illustration of the emergence story of the Tohono O'odham or Papago Indians of the Central Valley in Arizona. So the little man is Yukitul in their language. It has been adopted by other people because it's significant of life's cycles and eternal motion, and also of the choices we are confronted with. The right choices lead us to a point of harmony with all things, no matter how hard or long the road is taken. The symbol is especially utilized in Hopi silversmiths as a way to showcase the quality of their technique. Now, you see, what we can learn here is I've just shown you how to research. Instead of sitting down to watch a movie and be entertained as the Jew feeds you while your guard is down, if you sit down, and what were the bullet points? The bullet points were Apollo. The bullet points were the VW, which was created by Hitler, by the way. And if it was red, he should have left it red because that signifies the Holocaust. See, why is he so justified in killing the seed of Jacob? Because they killed the Indians and they Holocausted his people, the Jews, supposedly. So his hope is that his God will now take vengeance upon the seed of Jacob with destruction, extermination. I mean, the name Apollo literally means, in one point, extermination, as I read to you. So now let's just look at something real quick. You see, you just take bullet points. What was the name of the family? Well, the name of the family was Torrance, the Torrance family. And when you look up the meaning of Torrance, it says Torrance is a Gaelic baby name. In Gaelic, the meaning of the name Torrance is from the knolls. When you look up knolls, you will see that it means grass, right?
Yep.
And or a small mountain or a large mountain. But then it also gives another definition of knoll as knell. Okay? The definition of knell is to summon or announce by or as if by a knell. To ring, especially for a death, funeral, or disaster. To sound in an ominous manner with an ominous effect. You've heard of the death knell.
Yeah.
Okay? That would be Apollo coming up out of the abyss with the hordes and destroying the seed of Jacob. Now, I don't think this is far-fetched whatsoever. You may say, oh, well, you read the Bible and you just decide. No, I understand that this man is of the other seed line that wants to destroy us. I know what's in the mind of these people, the minds of these people. I know they don't have that conscience that he pretends to have, and they want you not to know what this movie means, because if you were to decipher it, it's like deciphering that the Holocaust is a bunch of nonsense. Once you know that the Holocaust is a bunch of nonsense and you see that the actual Holocausts have happened to Jacob in several areas, whether it's in Vietnam, whether it's in Russia, whether it's post-World War II Germany, whether it's in America on the abortion table, whether it's with injections in autism, whether it's in perpetual war that we're in right now. They don't want us to know what they're... See, this, his fellow Jews knew what this movie meant. So when I tell you the ladder is the lingam, they told you the ladder means A. But the ladder is, again, the generative principle force. You notice that the Masons cover that with the cloth, right? With the apron?
Yeah.
Okay. That means that what that means is that they've actually eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And like Adam and Eve, they now have intellect, so they cover their genitals. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's amazing, you know, just what has been shown here. Go ahead, Andy. Go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because we've only got a minute or so left, but I mean, personally, that's, I think your study of it is really, really revealing, and it goes into, and it's very possible. I mean, I looked at some of the producers of these, this documentary, and they certainly, their names look very suspect. And as you say, when do the Jews want to admit anything to us? I personally think Kubrick was probably behind filming the Apollo moon landings anyway. And there could be, I think there's enough of these keys in these films to indicate that. But at the same time, I think that your interpretation, it's given us even more food for thought. And this is why I wanted to have you on specifically to talk about this subject, because you'd already done such a great analysis of 2001. So we've got 20 seconds left, so I'll leave it for you to give your final comments.
Okay, you're not incorrect in saying that he probably did film this to deceive mankind or to deceive Jacob Israel. And why? Because I said again that it is man becoming God. It is a bullet point in man becoming God. And so because they can't do this in reality and can't really go to the moon, they didn't want people to know that man will not be able to become God. So they had to fake it, in my view. Thanks, Andy.
Excellent, David. Thank you very much for your time today. And thank you to all the listeners for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll be back soon. Bye for now.